You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Bud Anderson Home Services, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
At this point in Sam Pittman's tenure, it feels like Arkansas has got a chance to beat just about any team in the SEC, maybe with the exception of Georgia and Alabama. It still feels like there's a pretty big gap between the Razorbacks and those two teams. You could say the same for pretty much just about any SEC team, and those two teams, especially this year, Georgia and Alabama. Clearly the class of college football, especially Georgia. Alabama, of course, has that loss to Texas A&M. The Razorbacks, they'll take their shot at an upset Saturday afternoon in Tuscaloosa. It's a 2:30 kickoff on CBS. Matt Jones with Clay Henry, who's in Tuscaloosa today, and Scotty Bordelon from Whole Hog Sports. Clay, let's talk about this matchup, because Arkansas has lost 14 straight to Alabama. They're a big underdog. I think 22 points is the point spread right now. How legitimate of a chance do you think the Razorbacks have in Tuscaloosa this weekend? And what do you think the things that they're going to have to do in order to beat the Crimson Tide?
Legitimate chance? I'm not sure. How do you define a legitimate chance? Well, that's rhetorical. You don't have to say anything. But I think what you have to understand is that Alabama doesn't lose. They don't lose to unranked opponents. They don't lose at home. They don't lose to Arkansas. Is Sam Pittman the guy to flip all that around? The way you do it is to get some help, and that's the thing that Alabama is really so good at doing, is just not making the kind of mistakes. That's the key to being ready to accept some gifts, and you have to force them. But I think when you go back and you look at the way Alabama played at Texas A&M this year, and they missed open receivers in the end zone, they did some things that were uncharacteristic. They allowed a kickoff return. Well, that's what they do. They return kickoffs. And it was Nick Saban is like, we go back to work. We have to eliminate those things. You know, the next week they played Mississippi State and just crushed them. And the first thing that happened is they had short yardage on the goal line. Same position they'd been in the previous week. They threw the ball. They ran it. I mean, they ran it to the point of almost four straight times and didn't get in, but they did. And I think it's to prove a point. This is what we're going to do. We're Alabama. We get on the goal line, and it's first and goal at the two. We're going to run it four straight times. Probably won't need four straight, but that's what we do. We're not going to throw interceptions.
I think this game is fairly interesting to me, because I feel like Arkansas is at a point where, especially with its top units on both sides of the ball, they can be pretty competitive with just about anybody. I'm not sure that Alabama necessarily falls in that class. As we saw Arkansas run up against a Georgia team that was just completely overwhelming. Alabama's got that in them too. They can really overwhelm you with depth, especially. And that's really what makes a difference in this league. But we've seen, like in past years, where, Arkansas has not gotten off to the greatest of starts, and Alabama has just scored points. And it feels like kind of an avalanche coming at you. Defensively, they can get you off the field in three plays, maybe a minute, 10 seconds. And then they go and quick strike score, and your confidence is a little bit shot. And then they add another three and out, and then another score, and all of a sudden you're down 14-0, maybe midway through the first quarter, and you feel like you don't have much of a chance anymore. So especially on the road, I think Arkansas has got to, maybe weather or prevent, kind of an early avalanche of points from Alabama, and, just give itself a shot to compete. And I'm sure they'll play hard, but, probably gonna have to add some new wrinkles on both sides of the ball to stay in this one.
Scotty, we've had this conversation on the basketball podcast a number of times about how good Arkansas's basketball team gets under Eric Musselman, or how much better they get, during the course of a season. I feel like that's the case with Alabama football. When you think back to 6 weeks ago, we thought they might be kind of a beatable team when they lost to A&M in College Station, and Arkansas had just beaten them a couple of weeks earlier on a neutral field. They sure look like a different team over the last 4 or 5 weeks. It seems like, kind of like what we were talking about with Musselman and his basketball team, Saban just finds things out about his football team, and they become a lot better at the end of the year than they were at the beginning.
Yeah, sometimes it takes a while to figure out what really, really works. Like you've probably got some things on offense and defense that lead to success, but maybe don't maximize the potential of maybe your offense or your defense. And by mid-November, Nick Saban's typically got things figured out. And I think a lot of their success lately on offense, you know, Jameson Williams is having a terrific year. I think he's had 100 plus receiving yards, and I think it's three straight games and four of his last five. And so he's a guy Arkansas's really got to figure out a way to limit. But you know, even if you tie that hand behind Alabama's back, they still got a John Metchie, and then you can always turn around and hand the ball off to Brian Robinson, and then Bryce Young, you know, he can also take off and run with it. So I mean, they've got plenty of options, and they seem to be, you know, obviously they're playing pretty well right now. But like to your point, like I think early in the year, we thought maybe Alabama was a team that may not be as strong defensively, you know, defending the run. You know, Florida, I think, ran for 200 plus yards on Alabama in a game that they narrowly lost. But I mean, they figure things out, man. It's not really anything new.
You almost feel like you've got to get your shot in at Alabama in September or October. Clay, this is where the schedule change kind of is maybe advantageous for Alabama, at least in terms of the Arkansas game. I mean, you think about Arkansas, maybe if they get a chance at them in September, that's a much different looking team than the one that goes in. I'm thinking especially, you know, with the Jalen Catalon and the type of impact he can make on a game like this.
That's an interesting thought, Matt, but you also have the dynamics of sitting squarely in front of the Iron Bowl, which I think is an advantage for Arkansas. I mean, it's the talk down here. I'm in Tuscaloosa now. I came in Thursday night. And the talk here is, you know, Auburn, what, you know, can you run the table? And I mean, it's like it's a foregone conclusion that you beat Arkansas, but can you run the table? And the one in doubt would be Auburn. And Auburn's beat up. Bo Nix is hurt. Their kicker's hurt. So they think, well, yeah, things are sitting up nice for us. Well, you know, truth be told, you still got to beat Arkansas. And I don't think this is an Arkansas team that's just going to lay down like they did against Georgia. You know, let's skip to the elephant in the room. And the elephant is a dandy. Will Anderson Jr. is a beast, and he's not as big as an elephant, but he's, you know, he's 6'3", 6'4", 245 pounds, 40 something vertical inch, just a freak athlete. And nobody's been able to block him. They've been different ways of trying. People have run away from him. They've run straight at him. They've run, you know, read options to try to, you know, take him out, let him take the guy without the ball. Just listen to this, guys. The leading tackle for Alabama is a linebacker transfer, grad transfer from Tennessee, Henry 2020. And he's a good player, 71 tackles. Will Anderson, who is the Jack linebacker, rush defensive end, has only four tackles left, 67 tackles. And when you think about Arkansas's rush in, who's a good player, Trey Williams, he's got 23 tackles. I mean, it's just unheard of for a player that gets as much attention as he does. He's got 67 total tackles, 19 tackles for 86 yards in loss, and 12.5 sacks. I don't know who Arkansas is going to put against him. They can flip and do what they want with him, because I don't think, you know, either one of Arkansas's offensive tackles, it's a fair match because of his quickness and strength and athletic ability and skill and technique. You know, he's a sophomore, true sophomore, is not draft eligible. So get used to him. You'll see him for another year.
I think it does, to your point, Clay, like it doesn't surprise me to hear that people in Tuscaloosa are looking past Arkansas to the Iron Bowl. I mean, that makes complete sense, but they probably are looking at Arkansas like Arkansas is an unranked team, right? Because Arkansas is in the top 25, but they're outside the top 20. And if you're in Alabama, I don't know that the rankings really, I don't know if you're your ranking really matters unless you're in the top five. That's just kind of what it seems like to me anyway.
Clay, you and I have kind of a similar thought on the Heisman Trophy, and that it ought to go to the best player, not the best quarterback, not the best running back like it usually does, but the best player. I'm really interested to get a look at Will Anderson as a Heisman voter this weekend and whether or not, you know, he is the best player that I've seen this year.
Yeah, I think the charge on the ballot says the most outstanding player, and I think that he fits that. Now, he's got a player on his team, Bryce Young, who's getting a lot of Heisman run. And, well, he should. I mean, he's having a great year. I mean, it's just incredible what he's done on third down. It's like, you know, he's Alabama leads the country in third down conversions. You know, they're going against an Arkansas team that is eighth, leads the SEC at 30%. But this is a team that on third down, they just act like it's nothing. And converting third downs is not something that you sneeze at. Alabama converted 10 of 14 against Arkansas last year. So it's not like, you know, they didn't do it last year too, but they what they do is that they run the ball in early downs and they'll pass it. I mean, some, but they're facing third and two, third and ones. Well, that's pretty easy to convert. But it's back to your Heisman. You know, you got Young, you got Anderson. I love to put a defensive player on my Heisman ballot. I've been doing that for probably about, 35 years. And rarely are they even in the group that gets to come to New York City. But I think that Will Anderson might. Jordan Davis at Georgia is another player just like that, a guy that can dominate a game from the defensive side of the ball. And these are players that, to me, that if you let the college head coaches around the country draft players, I'm not sure which would go first, Will Anderson or Jordan Davis, but that tells you really all you need to know about how they should be perceived in the Heisman ballot.
I'm not a Heisman voter, but I think you guys both are. I'm curious if y'all think the race for that award this year is as wide open as maybe it has been in a little while.
Yeah, it might be, but I think it's when you look at the number one team and the number two team, you got candidates on both of those teams. Stetson Bennett probably is not, but I think Jordan Davis is at Georgia, and because he's such a dominant player defensively, he'll get some votes. And then the thing you have to really be aware of, the Heisman is such a regional, the nation's voters are balanced. I think it's like 1,500 voters, and they're really balanced by region. And there'll be some teams, I mean, some players from some teams in the Big Ten area that really get a lot of run because there's a lot of votes from that area. So you have to be careful at saying, okay, who's the national candidate, because there will be regional candidates emerge.
Yeah, I say that because, you know, I know there are guys who are obviously they're in the running for it. Like there's, you know, Matt Corral and Bryce Young, Jordan Davis, Will Anderson, obviously an option there. Carson Ritter, you know, I think at Cincinnati was getting a little bit of love for, you know, maybe he was one of the front runners for the award at one point in the season, but it doesn't seem like anybody has just jumped out and grabbed like a firm grasp of, you know, maybe being a front runner at this point, but maybe and Arkansas certainly hopes not, but maybe this could be a week that Bryce Young does that if he has a nice week, or Will Anderson too, you know, maybe he could take a step forward there.
You know, on the Heisman talk, usually this time of year, I've got a good feel for who I'm going to vote for. Like last year when Alabama came to Fayetteville, I thought it was going to be DeVonta Smith. I didn't have much doubt in my mind that's who I thought would be my Heisman Trophy winner. But I don't have a good feel this year. You know, I mean, there's probably six or seven guys that, you know, from week to week I look at and I think that should be the guy. You know, certainly Anderson is in that group. I think Jordan Davis is in that group from Georgia. I like Kenneth Walker, the running back from Michigan State. I was really impressed when I watched him play against Michigan, especially given what Michigan has been defensively this year. So, you know, there's some others that I'm considering, and I think I'm going to take it right down until the deadline to pick out my top three.
I misspoke earlier. I called this quarterback at Cincinnati, Carson Ritter's Desmond Ritter. I get an email every week, and I'm sure you guys might too, with some Heisman odds. And the quarterback at Ohio State, CJ Stroud, he's got the, you know, he moved up to the best Heisman Trophy odds by sportsbetting.ag. And Kenneth Walker's in that top three. Matt Corral, I think, is fourth. But Bryce Young's right there. I mean, he's right on the shirt tails of CJ Stroud. So maybe if we see a big weekend from Bryce Young, you know, he may be the guy that grabs a firm hold.
I think when there's a year that there's not a clear cut number one, a lot of times people will default to the best player or the most, you know, high profile player on the best team. Doesn't make it right or wrong. It's just what I think a lot of people do. The Whole Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by Bud Anderson Home Services. Visit them online at gocallbud.com.
Bud Anderson is proud to be the official heating and cooling provider for the Arkansas Razorbacks. This partnership will support all Razorback athletics for over 400 student athletes across 19 sports. Woo pig!
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
Win or lose this weekend in Tuscaloosa, it's been a good rebound for Arkansas after that tough month of October. The Razorbacks, they beat LSU last week. They beat Mississippi State 2 weeks ago. Of course, they had the UAPB game before the bye week that kind of helped them get right. They're 7-3 right now. And I don't know that a lot of people expected them to be 7-3 right now. Clay, as you look at this season with a couple of weeks left to go, they could beat Alabama and we could really look at the season a lot differently. But as you look at the season where it is right now, just kind of what have been your thoughts about the Razorbacks and, where Sam Pittman has the team through, I guess he's 20 games into his tenure.
Without question, the thing that I'm most impressed with is how hard the team plays, and they're going to be in most games just because of the effort that they give and the consistency of effort. And, it was early last season maybe it was at Auburn, and they'd won at Mississippi State and felt like they probably won at Auburn. And after the game, Sam said, "Our fans should be confident that we're going to play hard and we're going to go on the road and we're not going to embarrass ourselves." And they've only done that one time. I mean, I think Georgia, they definitely embarrassed themselves. And this is the test to see if you can, if you can go to Alabama and go toe to toe with them, then he's done something amazing, which is, pull this team together inside of 2 years. And I think, 7-3, 3-3 in the conference, chance to go either 5-3 or 4-4 would be, worthy of Coach of the Year consideration. And I'm impressed with everything that's happened this year. And you just, you can't say enough about the work that these coaches and these players have done this year. But having said that, this is Alabama, and it'll be interesting to watch and see if they can avoid what's happened to so many Arkansas teams against Nick Saban, which is by the end of the first quarter, the die is cast. Are you still in the game at halftime?
You can definitely put me in the camp of the folks that didn't think Arkansas would be where it is right now. Before the season, if you're looking at the schedule, you know, you're going down looking at, you know, Arkansas is going to beat Rice and they're going to beat Georgia Southern. And, you know, you look at some of the other games on Arkansas schedule, like Texas, it was kind of a toss up, but you didn't know, you know, in the second week of a season, you know, if Arkansas was going to be able to win that game. And they win that game, and then they go down to Texas A&M and win. And then you win some of these toss-up games, like with Mississippi State, and you catch LSU on possibly a down year, but that's still a tough game to go win. I predicted Arkansas to go and win at LSU, but I didn't feel like super confident in that. I think it just does wonders for when you're rebuilding a program, just going and winning some of those toss-up games. I've talked about it before. Like, that's really the difference. Like, Arkansas has won four games that you kind of went in thinking they were toss-ups with Texas A&M, LSU, and Mississippi State. And if you don't win those games, I mean, your season is completely flipped on its head. Like, you're sitting at 3-7 instead of 7-3. So that's just winning those games alone just puts your program on a really positive trajectory.
I mentioned at the start that Arkansas is a 22-point underdog in this game. That's actually a bigger point spread than Arkansas had for the Georgia game back in October. They were an 18-point underdog going into Georgia. And it's interesting. I think I've almost heard people say it reverse this week, that they think Arkansas could potentially stay closer to Alabama in a bigger point spread than what people were thinking might happen in the Georgia game a couple of weeks ago.
Well, that might be because of what happened with LSU and Alabama. And, you know, LSU played them close, and that was a complete surprise. I think people thought that Alabama would name their score there. So Alabama has had some unusual games that you can't hardly figure. And, you know, some have pointed to, you know, to possibly lack of senior leadership, that they've just had so many losses to the draft the last couple of years.
All right, prediction time now. It is not a very good week of football in the SEC. There are a ton of non-conference games this weekend, and not the good non-conference type. It's a lot of SEC versus FCS or teams from Group of Five conferences. In fact, there's only four games this weekend that match an SEC team against an SEC team, and that's with every SEC team being in action this weekend. This has been the weekend. It began with Urban Meyer when he was at Florida, where you see teams putting a cupcake on the schedule before their big rivalry game. He started that with Florida so they could have a little bit of extra time to heal up before the Florida State game, and now everybody's followed suit. In fact, Arkansas is going to follow suit too. In 2023, the Razorbacks are going to play Florida International on this weekend in the schedule. In 2024, they're going to play Louisiana Tech on this weekend before their game against Missouri. So get ready. It's coming to the Razorbacks, even though they haven't been one of the teams that have done this to this point. We'll start with the game in the mid-afternoon that's going to be going head-to-head against the Razorbacks and the Crimson Tide. And that's Florida at Missouri on the SEC Network, 3 o'clock kickoff, Clay.
Well, this is a tough one. You just don't know what you got with Florida. And Missouri has played a little better, but they still have some weaknesses defensively. This is crazy, but I'm going with Missouri and Tyler Beatty.
Yeah, same here. Florida giving up 52 to Samford last week. I'm probably not going to pick your defense if you're giving up 50 to Samford.
Kind of a weird quirk in the schedule this week. Auburn goes to South Carolina. It's a 6 o'clock kickoff on ESPN. It's the second straight year that Auburn has had to go to Columbia because of the SEC modifying its schedule a year ago. Auburn lost at South Carolina last year. I believe that might have been the last win for Will Muschamp.
Yeah, Bo Nix is out for Auburn, but TJ Finley has played some this year, and I guess he played some at LSU too. I'll still stick with Auburn.
Yeah, same here. I think he'll be more than serviceable at quarterback. Especially, he'll be plenty good enough to beat South Carolina, I would assume.
I think South Carolina can still get bowl eligible, but they have to beat Auburn and Clemson in the last 2 weeks of the season to do that. Vanderbilt is at Ole Miss on Saturday night. It's a 6:30 kickoff on the SEC Network.
Ole Miss all the way. Yeah, I just I don't know how many injuries Ole Miss has, but they still got enough players to beat Vanderbilt.
Yeah, that game will be a boat race. It probably might be over by the end of the first quarter.
Some of the other games this weekend, we won't pick them. Charleston Southern is at Georgia. Prairie View A&M is at Texas A&M. Tennessee State is at Mississippi State. New Mexico State is going to play an SEC team for the second straight weekend. They are going to Kentucky. South Alabama is at Tennessee. And Louisiana Monroe is at LSU. If Tennessee wins, they will become bowl eligible. Wrote this week that really bowl eligibility is a very interesting thing right now. We talked about this previously on the podcast, that we think Arkansas is in that group of six pretty firmly, but there are some things that can happen above or below that puts some different teams in that group of six discussion with Arkansas, and it might impact where the Razorbacks go. I think if I had money right now, I'd put the Razorbacks in Nashville, just because they haven't played there in so long, and I think that there's going to be a push by the Bulls to keep teams kind of local this year to drive up attendance due to the fact that a lot of bowls were either canceled or heavily reduced attendance a year ago. All right, Arkansas is at Alabama, 2:30 kickoff on CBS. Not very often that the Razorbacks have played in this CBS 2:30 game in the last several years. They played in that time slot against A&M this year in September, but before that had been 2017 since they played in the 2:30 game. Alabama's won 14 straight. Arkansas hasn't won in Tuscaloosa since 2003. Clay, you've already said you think Alabama will win, but give us an idea of the score.
Yeah, I think that's the real question. Can Arkansas cover? And I think it'll be tight. I think, two touchdowns is kind of the neighborhood that I've seen, which that would be an improvement over recent years. You can thank Alabama for not using up all their TV spots, because that's why this game is on TV, is Alabama had an extra. Every year, the CBS and ESPN on the major telecast, they use every chance for Alabama for the year, and they had one left, counting the Auburn game next week.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that this could be the weekend that Bryce Young maybe grabs hold of the you know, maybe that front runner spot for the Heisman Trophy. I just think he has a solid to big game, and I just I really like watching really talented receivers play, and Jameson Williams and John Metchie are just about as good as it gets in the league, you know, maybe other than Treylon Burks. And right now it seems like Arkansas might be down a cornerback in Hudson Clark. He took a pretty good shot, I think, with about 4 minutes left in regulation at LSU. He had a little bit of friendly fire. He was trying to wrangle an LSU receiver along the Arkansas sideline, and Hayden Henry came over to try to clean up the tackle, and he hit Hudson Clark pretty good in the head and spun that head around, and Hudson was down for a little bit. And so it seems like Hudson probably at best is questionable. I would probably say he's doubtful. So that's going to call up a guy like Ladarius Bishop, who Sam Carter told him all the time in fall camp that, he's the fastest guy on the field. But we've seen him get beat over the top a few times this year when he has gotten some extended time. So that's maybe a little bit of a concern. And then depth after Day-Day. I mean, you're looking at possibly at Kari Johnson, maybe at Nick Turner. That's a pretty tough spot to put a couple of those young guys in. I figure we might see some of that three high look that Arkansas gave Alabama last year that prevented some of those deep shots. But I just think Alabama is a little bit too talented on both sides, and I've got Alabama covering.
A lot of people forget that Arkansas actually played Alabama pretty well defensively last year, and you look at the score, 52-3. How did they play well defensively? Well, Alabama had a punt return for a touchdown. By the way, they've scored 8 non-offensive touchdowns against Arkansas under Nick Saban, including, I think, a return in each of the last 2 games. And I think they've had 5 non-offensive touchdowns in the last 5 years against the Razorbacks. Those have really been plays that have turned around games. But Arkansas also had some turnovers that set up some short fields in that game. If you look at Alabama, though, play or game by game last year offensively, the Arkansas game was one of their worst games offensively. Sam Pittman said afterward that he thought Barry Odom had a really good game plan against the Crimson Tide last year. Arkansas just couldn't score any points, and then obviously you're not going to beat Alabama when they're scoring 52. Clay made a comment about the TV CBS learned its lesson about 4 or 5 years ago. I think it was Derrick Henry's Heisman year. They had put Alabama on too many times that year. And so ESPN got to show the Iron Bowl. CBS didn't get to show it. So they learned their lesson that year. You don't want to use up Alabama too much. And certainly, I think they're glad that they're getting the Arkansas-Alabama game this week, because who knows, it may be a mismatch, but it's a ranked team versus a ranked team. It's a lot better than Florida, Missouri, or Auburn, South Carolina, or Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, which were the other options that CBS had. I'll be interested to see with Arkansas, can they stay close early in the game? I think one of the things with Alabama is that they've been really good this year at pulling away in the second half of games. I think about like the Tennessee game. That was a 31-24 game late in third quarter. Alabama ends up outscoring them in the fourth quarter, 21-0. And all of a sudden, you know, it looks like a blowout when it really had been a close game. Can Arkansas stay close and make it a game into the second half? That'll be something interesting to watch. Hope you come over to WholeHogSports.com this weekend. We're going to have a ton of coverage. We've got Arkansas, Alabama. The Arkansas soccer team is at home. NCAA tournament second round tonight. They'll play Virginia Tech. Andrew Joseph will be there for us. If they win that game, they will turn around and play a Sweet 16 game in Fayetteville on Sunday afternoon against either Notre Dame or Purdue. Both of those teams are in Fayetteville playing an NCAA tournament game on Friday as well. Paul Boyd is in Jonesboro. It's the first time that the Razorbacks women's basketball team has gone over to Arkansas State since the 2005 WNIT. That tip-off is tonight at 7 o'clock. Paul will have coverage for us. And then we're going to have plenty of basketball coverage ahead of the Hall of Fame Classic. Arkansas going to play Kansas State on Monday night in Kansas City. And then they'll play either Illinois or Cincinnati on Tuesday. Scotty will be in Kansas City for those games. Clay's in Tuscaloosa, and he'll have plenty of coverage. So will the rest of us from the Razorbacks and the Crimson Tide at Whole Hog Sports this weekend. Hope you'll like our podcast on either Apple or Spotify. Give us a review. It'll help others find it. And we appreciate you joining us on the Whole Hog Football Podcast. We'll see you again next week.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.